This week's parasha is Parashas Re'eh. We'll be starting on page 1010. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Page 1010, Perek Yudalet Pasuk Aleph. Banim Atem Lashem Elokeichem. You are children to Hashem, your God. You shall not cut yourselves, and you shall not make a bald spot between your eyes for a dead person. For you are a holy nation to Hashem your God, and it is in you that God has chosen to be for him as a treasured nation, from all nations that are on the face of the earth. So here the Torah is forbidding us a practice of cutting ourselves as a sign of mourning for a dead person. And also there was another idea of having a bald spot. Bald spot on your head between your eyes. That was also as a sign of mourning. These signs, Hashem forbid, these actions, Hashem forbids us to do as an expression of our mourning. And this is prefaced by saying, you are children to Hashem, your God. And then afterwards it says, for you are a holy nation to Hashem, your God. So, what is the connection between these things? You are children. Don't cut yourself or make a bald spot for a dead person. For you are a holy nation to Hashem, your God. And he was knew that he chose for you to be his treasured people. So, Rashi explains that the reason... Rashi, this is the top Rashi, Pasuk Aleph. Rashi in the left column, Loisis Gaididu. Loisitnu Gadida Veserbif Sarchem. Do not cut yourselves. Almeis over a dead person. Kederach Shamari and Oisin, as the Amorites did. Lefi Sha'atem Banav Shalmachim. For you are the children of God. Vatem Ru'uyin Liois Noyim Veloi Gududin Mukurachim. It is befitting for you to appear pleasant. To appear in a good way and not to be cut up or bald spotted. So even though you're doing it because you're expressing your sorrow over the death of the person, so even though again you're doing it to express your mourning for the loss of someone of a close relative, but as princes and princesses, your body should not be walking around appearing cut up or with bald spots. It's not appropriate for the prince or the princess to appear that way. And then that's the beginning. Ki am kadosh ata, the next pasuk, for your holy nation, kedushas atzmocha me'avaisecha. Okay, your holiness comes from your forefathers. Va'aydu b'cha b'achar Hashem, and in you Hashem has chosen. So these are the reasons given as to why we should not do these practices for a mace. Not a lot of elaboration on Kiyam Kadosh Ata in Rashi, but it's the same idea in the sense that as princes and princesses, your bodies should not be cut up and appear in such a way, even for the death of a loved one. The Sephornu has a different approach, and it's a very important approach. And the Sephornu is approaching this from two angles. When a person mourns over the death of a loved one, the person who left behind experiences a loss. And also, there is this idea in people's minds that, okay, I've lost this person, and this person is lost. Meaning there's something to feel bad about for this person. This person is lost. They have no more life. They have nothing. So we have a loss, and they have a loss. So says the Sephornu, Banim Atem Lashem Elokeichem Loisis Gaididu. You are children to Hashem your God, do not cut yourselves. She'ein ro'i laharois tachlis hada'aga v'hatzar ala karev hames. It is not appropriate to show such a high level of worry and pain over a loved one that has died. K'shenishar karev nichbad bimenu b'malo u'betikvas hatoiv. When you still have another relative more honorable and on a more honorable on a higher level and with greater hope. Lefikach banim atem l'Hashem, therefore you are children to Hashem. Shu'avichem kaim la'ad. Your father in heaven is eternally around. And therefore, it is not appropriate to worry or to mourn on such a high level over anyone that dies. Meaning, says Sefornu, clearly there is no question that when someone close to us passes away, we mourn. That's a natural thing. The question is, how far are we allowed to go in mourning? How far can you go? So the Sefornu says, if you lose someone close, but there's still, when you lose a close relative, but there's another relative that you still have, and that other relative is there, they can take care of you, they can support you, there is still that, so to speak, bigger relative that's still around. So clearly, you feel bad for who you lost. But knowing that you still have this other relative who actually holds a higher place, and higher position in your heart than the person who passed away, then your mourning is not as great as if you've lost everything. So it says in Sefornu, any time we lose someone, we have to remember that our Father in Heaven is still around. We still have the Ribbono Shel Olam, we still have Hashem, we still have Him. And because of that, being that we still have Him, surely we're going to feel bad for who we lost. But going and cutting yourself, and this bald spot idea, seems to be the utmost expression of complete negation. I'm completely lost. Like you're cutting yourself up. I have no existence. I have no reason to stay around. On that, the Torah says, you can't go that far, even initially. You cannot go that far. We know that we have different levels of mourning. We have the highest level when the person passes away. You have the first half of Shiva, you have the second half of Shiva, you have the 30 days, you have the year for a parent. These are all different levels that a person gradually kind of decreases their mourning, and that's the way it's supposed to be. This kind of mourning, and clearly the Torah recognizes there's a high level of mourning when you lose someone close. But to go as far as to cut yourself, to mourn on that level, a level that basically says you have nothing? What do you mean you have nothing? You don't just have nothing, you have the Ribbono Shel Olam still, you have your Father in Heaven. And therefore, the mourning has to be tempered. Because whenever you recognize that you still have a father, you still have a mother, you still have a relative that can still take care of you, then there's a certain comfort in that. There's a certain level, you're not going to mourn the same way. And therefore, where a person has to always bear in mind that no matter who they lose, they still have their Ribbono Shel Olam, their Father in Heaven. And therefore, the degree, the intensity of mourning cannot be as far as these practices of cutting oneself and of leaving that bald spot, which my understanding is, represents like complete loss. There's nothing left to me.
Then you can go crazy.
Okay.
That's okay. What happens with people, you know.
Yep.
They cry till they get sick.
Okay. Okay. So again, the issue here is not to mourn at all. But as it says, not to mourn betachlis, which I understand means to say on such a high level, on the ultimate level. Now that's the first half. The first half that says, you are children to Hashem, your God, don't cut yourself, says Sefornu, means your feeling of loss cannot be at this level that you would go cutting yourself. But then afterwards, the pasuk says, do not place a bald spot between your eyes for a dead person, ki am kadosh ata, for you are a holy nation. What's the point of that? Says the Sefornu, the gam kein ein litzdarim ma'id, and so to one should not be overly mourning, bishvil nezek magia lemeis b'misasai, for the damage that the dead person experiences with his death. Meaning, there's another feeling that one can have when they lose this relative, like, look, what they have nothing. You know, they lost their life, they're just in the ground, there's nothing to them, you know, and you feel, you mourn over what they have lost. And the answer to that is, one cannot excessively mourn for what has happened to the dead person himself. You're a holy nation. You're heading for the world to come. You're heading for Olam Haba. One whiff of Olam Haba, says Pirkei Avos, is greater than all the pleasures of this world. So you're going to go ahead and start mourning, oh, look what's happened to them. They've died. There's nothing left to them. What do you mean there's nothing left to them? You're a holy nation. You're good. You're the people that will have the highest level. You'll have the highest level of eternity that could possibly ever be. So therefore, here too, if you're going to go ahead and express this high level of loss, not just about yourself, because you look at the person who died and you say they have nothing, the answer to that is, what do you mean they have nothing? They are now on the next stretch. They're now on the next step. They're now going to the next level of life, which is Olam Haba, the world to come. So again, we don't do this extent. You don't go to this highest level of mourning, of cutting oneself, or of making this bald spot, because number one, we still have the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and number two, they're heading to Olam Haba. They're heading to the world to come. Now, I want to point out something here. The wording of the Sephornu is, Ki ein litzdara ma'id b'shvil nezak magi l'meis m'misasei. One should not mourn ma'id, one should not mourn excessively for what's happening to the person who passed away. It says not to feel bad ma'id excessively. But a certain level to feel bad for them, you can. What are the purposes? I one time heard that when we sit shiv and we mourn, what are we mourning about? Well, one explanation is, one aspect of mourning is the fact that we recognize that the person who passed on is going through a very serious situation right now. When a person passes away, they're standing in judgment. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam is judging them. No one knows where they're going. What's going to happen to them. No one knows what they're going through right now, and it's not so simple what they're going through. There is an aspect of mourning in which we are feeling the pain of this person who passed away. We are mourning for that. We are mourning not because they're lost, but we are mourning for the fact that, yeah, there is something they're going through. This is not an easy situation for them right now. But li'etzdayra ma'oid, li'etzaba ma'oid, to excessively mourn, to excessively feel anguish over them. Again, in a sense of they're lost. No, they're not lost. They're on a path now to the highest level of life. Is there a stage beforehand that may not be too pleasant? It's very possible, and we do feel for them for that. But this kind of expression of cutting oneself or of the bald spot because of what? Because of what's happened to them and what they have lost, that we don't do. Because we know that they're now going on to the next stage of life, which is Olam Haba, the world to come. The Aruch Chaim gives a similar explanation, and I just want to share with you because it's very nice the way he lays this out. And he's going on the first part of the pasuk that says, "Banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem." You are children to Hashem your God, and therefore do not cut yourself. So he says, "Tarach ladas matam smach maimer banim atem l'maimer." It's this guy to do. What's the connection? Right, just starting from step one. Step one is, what's the connection between you are children? Don't cut yourself. Nirish and eskaven loymar. The intent is, shemimisas ish ein aved lemes. When a person passes away, there is not a loss to the person who passed. It's like a person who dispatched his son to another city to do business for him. At a certain point of time, the father calls his son back. The loss of this son, now when the son goes back to his father, it's only a loss from the point of the place where he used to be. They don't have him anymore. Still around. He's not lost, he's just not there anymore. On the contrary, he's in a better place now. He's gone back to his father, now he can be with his father. And therefore, for this, it is not appropriate for us to cut ourselves or to make a bald spot. Because banim atem l'Hashem, you are children to Hashem. When you pass away, you are going back to your Father in heaven, because you are children to Hashem. You're going to go back and be close with Him. You're going to be close with Him now more than you ever were. And therefore, Bonim Atem Hashem, Lo Yisis Gaididu. The Arach Chaim focuses primarily on, again, the whole idea of, you know, when we're mourning, what are our feelings of mourning? Well, if our feelings of mourning are, now again, he's not excluding we have no feelings of mourning. I mean, in his parable, right? The son was in a place for a while, now he left. That place doesn't have him anymore. And they're going to feel that loss. That's us when we lose someone. But again, from the point of, is this person lost? This person's not lost. This person is now returning to his father in Shemayim, his father in heaven. And therefore, to cut oneself, or to make a bald spot, as an expression of that person being lost, says the Torah, your banim atem Hashem, your children to Hashem. You may have been dispatched for a time in this world, but you're going back to your father. You're still around. You're still in existence. And now you're returning to your father in heaven, and therefore, excessive mourning for his loss, that he's gone. He has nothing left. That is just not true. And therefore, we do not express ourselves in such a way of mourning. I want to share with you something interesting that I recently saw. And that was when I saw this. I saw this online. Somebody who sends out a Divrei Torah every week, and he brought down that when Rabbi Soloveitchik was sitting shiva for his wife, so a discussion came up amongst a couple of the people there as to why it is that when you lose a parent, right, which is something that is normal, expected, you mourn for 12 months. If you, God forbid, lose a child, which is clearly something unexpected, even more painful, the mourning period is only for 30 days. It's only shloshim. After 30 days, there's no more mourning. So how do we understand that? How do we understand the idea that you mourn less for something that seems to be the greater tragedy to a person? So that was the question that was asked. Now I have to go ahead and try to remember the answer correctly because I forgot to look it over before I came in here.
But this is maybe answer. Parents only. This is only parents. The child can be another.
Okay.
Parent.
Okay. So one of the answers brought down there was that one rabbi responded and said that you can't replace a parent. To a certain degree, yeah, lose a child, you can replace a child. Again, you know, that was one answer that was given. That's not a very comfortable answer, but that answer was mentioned. But the way they bring down Rabbi Soloveitchik answered it by saying that actually our sages diminished mourning over an unexpected loss because our sages were actually afraid that you may mourn too much. You may mourn too much. A parent is something that, you know, again, it's expected. So there's something about a year's time passes. It's a certain natural thing within us that it goes, that we kind of get used to it. And as time goes on, we actually, you know, have to accept and diminish our mourning. For a child, I think the way he said it was that they wanted to actually diminish it because if the whole point was it should be more because it's such a tragedy, it's such an unexpected thing, and therefore it should be at least that much. And if I understand his answer, the answer was that, on the contrary, the sages wanted to diminish the state of mourning because they were afraid that you would mourn excessively. And therefore, they made it less than a parent. Although it's a greater tragedy, greater feeling of loss, out of fear that actually mourning over a child could actually become too excessive, therefore they diminished it. Okay, I have to check. I have to look it over again. I have to look it again. I apologize. I didn't have a chance to look it over before I came in.
Can we learn in the Gemara also that the love a parent has for a child is greater than the love a child has for a parent?
Therefore,
would be consistent with what you're saying. The love for a parent is greater for the child than the love of the child for the parent. Chazal would mandate a longer mourning period for the parent because that has to be. naturally the love of a child for their parent isn't as great. But the love of a parent for a child is so great that the Chazal were afraid that they would be too mournful, and so they cut down the period.
So you're supporting that idea?
Yeah, it's consistent with what you're saying.
Okay.
Shut this off until we're done here tonight. You're warm?
You can't let him do it.
You can't hear me? Can you hear me?
No.
You can't hear me? You can hear me.
What?
Can you hear me?
I was trying to help you out.
No, I'm okay. Okay.
There is also mitzvah to respect parents, and there is no mitzvah to respect child.
Okay, but I don't know if I understand what you're saying. I just
even there is one is Ten's command came directly to respect parents to continue to live.
I'm sorry, I'm not.
I don't remember what exactly, but
L'man yarichin yamecha.
To continue,
you should have a long life.
Yes, it means there is no parents, there is no chance to continue to have more days.
What?
Okay, interesting point.
Yeah,
all right.
But you are right, this is,
you sure?
I believe it's so much bigger.
All right, let me just conclude, we're running out of time. Just want to conclude with an interesting concept. Maybe you're familiar with this. But you know, when we say Kaddish, right? We say Kaddish, and Kaddish is something that we say. We have an obligation for a parent. We say Kaddish. So there's a very interesting source to the custom of Kaddish. Now, Kaddish essentially is where, even though you've lost someone so close, you feel such a loss, you still express to Hashem, "I want your name to be glorified." Even with everything that has happened, I want your name to be glorified. Even with everything that's happening, Baruch Hu Hashem Amavoyrech, bless Hashem. But there's a very interesting source in the Medrash Tanchuma, a source of where this practice of Kaddish came from. So it talks about how Rabbi Akiva was one time walking through a cemetery. Now again, this is a Medrash. It's talking about people on a very high level, interactions with souls, interactions with people from the heavenly sphere. So it says Rabbi Akiva was one time walking through a cemetery, and he saw someone. And he saw this person. He was very if I understand it correctly, he looked like a blacksmith. He was all full of soot and full of dirt. And he was very heavy, and he was rushing, and he was really like all worked up and all the suffering. So Rabbi Akiva told him to stop. And he said to him, "You know, why do you need to work so hard? If you're a slave and your master is overburdening you, you know what? I'll redeem you. I'm ready to redeem you. This is, you know, you're suffering too much. I'll redeem you. And if you're poor, I'll support you." But like, you know, he felt bad for the person. How could he couldn't see the person suffering like this. So he responded to him. He said, I gotta go. I can't stick around. So then all of a sudden Rabbi Akiva started sensing there's something more going on here. So he said to him, "You a person, or are you something else?" He said to him, he referred to himself as that person. That person, referring to himself, died, and every day they make him chop wood and light the fire, and they put him into that fire. That's his Gehenna. He's got to gather the wood, whatever this all means, he's got to gather the wood, and he's burned in that fire of the wood that he gathers. So he says to the man, "What did you do for a living when you were alive?" He said to him, "I was a tax collector. And I used to, you know, favor the rich and do a job on the poor. And not only that, I did some other very severe sins." So clearly he was saying, I wasn't too big. I was far from a tzaddik. All right. Rabbi Akiva says to him, calls him Beni, my son. Have you heard from the people who are in charge of you in Shemayim that there is some way that you could find a rectification? You can do something to get yourself finally rectified, and you don't have to go through all of this. So again, he says to him, "Look, please don't hold me back. This guy, I'm going to get in big trouble for this. Okay? And I heard that there is no hope. I've heard already from them. There's no hope for me. Okay? The only thing I did hear is that they said, I heard them saying to me, that if this person, this Russia, would have a son that could go to shul, and together with the tzibur, say Baruch was Hashem HaMavirach, they would stop the punishment. And he said that this person, referring to himself again, when he died, he had no children. He left his wife pregnant. I have no idea, boy or a girl. Meaning, if it's a boy, he's going to be able to go to shul and do Baruch Hu. Okay? And if she did give birth to a boy, who's going to teach him Torah? So, Rabbi Akiva said to him, what's your name? And he said to him, listen to this, Akiva. His name is Akiva. Shei Mishnecha, what's your wife's name? Shushmira. And where do you live? Alduka. Alright. At that point, Rabbi Akiva felt terrible, and he went from city to city until he finally found this city, and he said, Heichan hu beisai. Do you remember this guy, the tax collector? Where did he live? What did they say? Yitzchaku atzmaisa begehenim. His bone should be broken in Gehenim. Okay? And then he said, and what about his wife? They responded, Yimach shema v'zichra. May her name be obliterated. Okay? He said, did he leave behind a child? And he said, yeah, he doesn't have a bris. Doesn't even have a bris. She never even gave him a bris. All right. Then it says, what happened? Miyat Tavas Rabbi Akiva Lebanoi. Rabbi Akiva grabbed, it says he grabbed this kid. I guess he gave him a bris too. Vayishiva Lefanev Lamdei Torah. He sat him down to teach him Torah. V'loi ha'yaloi made. The kid wouldn't learn. Either he didn't want to learn, it didn't go in. Ad sheyashav olav betainis arboyim yoyim. Rabbi Akiva fasted 40 days for this kid. A heavenly voice went out and said, al ze ata mesana? You're fasting for this one? Amahein. He said, yep, this is the one, Rabbi Akiva said. V'kara ba'alav beis ad sheylicha v'beisai v'limdei berchas hamazin kriya shema tefila. Till he finally took him and he taught him Aleph Beis, benching, Kriya Shema, davening, the Hamidah of his follower, the Amar, and he put him up by the Amid and he said, Baruch Hu Hashem HaMavirach. And he put the kid up by the Amid until the kid said Baruch Hu, until he said Baruch Hu with the tzibur. And the Medrash says, Ba'is HaShahi Tiru Min HaPeronis. At that point of time, he was freed from the punishment. Uba'is HaIsh B'Chaloyim, V'Amar L'Rabbi Akiva. And he came in a dream and he said, Tenuach daitcha shi tzaltani medina shal Gehenim. Rest assured, you've saved me from Gehenim. Miyad pasach Rebbe Akiva v'amar Rebbe Akiva declared, Hashem shimcha lo'olam, Hashem is your name forever, Hashem zikrcha l'dor v'dor, Hashem is your remembrance for all generations. That's how the Medrash Tanchuma ends. What?
Hashem is your name forever?
Which one? The first part, Hashem, this is a pasuk. Rabbi Akiva said this pasuk.
Oh.
And then he brings down from a different sefer, from the Zohar Chadash. The Zohar Chadash says that when the maids came in the dream, that what did he say to Rabbi Akiva? He said, B'shar Shamar B'ni Haftarah, when my son said the Haftarah, Hekul Medina Shal Gehenim, so they lightened up Gehenim for me. It wasn't that severe. And when he came up before the Amid to lead the congregation, to lead the shul and davening, the Omar Kaddish, and he said Kaddish, Karu li gzardini mikol v'chol. They completely took away my decree. And when it came to a point that he became wise and he merited to understand Torah, Nasdali chelik b'gan Eden, I got a portion in Gan Eden. So this is what the Medrash tells us, the importance, how it expresses the importance of Kaddish, of a person who davens for the Amid, in memory of the father. And not only that, the fact that he learned Torah, learning Torah, the child learned Torah, that helped the father. So All these things, this is a source of a midrashic source for the benefits of Kaddish, the benefits of Kaddish for one who passes away.